Hello and good evening. This is Florence in Atlanta, and this is the Thinkers Challenge show. Last week, during the week, some of the questions I got, and it is talking about to what extent we can practice God with us. It can be said in different ways. It's like, how do we feel God in our lives? We often get this question, oh, I can't feel God. I don't feel his love. And we need to see why, because as today's episode, I put it on here, that we have been given much that we can practice to change our lives. The truth is practical, and all can use it. No one has any monopoly over the truth. This truth is everywhere. You know, no matter what religion or whatever we think we call ourselves, the truth, God's truth, is for all of his children. As the Bible says, he is no respecter of persons. Nobody is better than anybody else as far as he's concerned, the Creator's concerned, because we have one real spiritual identity. All of us reflect God, or we can see that reflection manifested in our lives. So why is it that at times somebody will say, well, I don't feel God's love, or I don't feel that, you know, he loves me or anything like that. And so the title practicing means that when we practice the truth, which is when we put it in practice, what we are learning about God, of course, we will feel his love. When we are taught mathematics, if we don't practice it, we don't know what to do when a problem is presented. Same with piano, same with anything in this life. If we don't practice it, you won't know it. So I feel that this is something we have to just become familiar with and actually be doing it so that we can help or share our experiences with others to help. That's all. All we're trying to do is sharing our insights as to how we can make the spiritual way of life, the spiritual laws of life, be pertinent and manifested in our lives. And if we can do it for ourselves, then obviously we can help some people too see the same thing. And you know, in our journey to be free as Christ Jesus said, when we know the truth, we will be free. We can share what we know to help others become free as well. I'm feeling that this topic may have to be this week as well as next week, because it does have quite a bit involved. First, today I would like to have we don't really have opinions here, but insights as to what others are thinking about this title, Practicing God with Us. And from what you share, I will also share, if we get to it this week, we will. If not next week, I will share what some of the spiritual meanings have meant in my life, and not just mine, in many, many millions others' lives, this practice of God with us. And so we hope that some insights, a lot of people come on here to listen. When they come later to listen, some insights are clear, some things that they can put in practice to actually feel this God with us. So open the lines here, and you know, you can have some minutes to share what your feeling is about this this title, and then we can go from there. So I have guests from Atlanta as well as Maryland, and I think I'll go to Atlanta first because I live in Atlanta. Okay, so 4-4-9-5-9-5-1-10-96. Just give your thoughts about this, you know, the practice of God with us. Actually, it's really living the truth. What your, maybe some, a couple of experiences, what it meant to you. And let's just get an idea of what that really means in practice to you. The line is open, and you can go ahead right now.
Okay, I think one of the things that's important is to be still and know. Be tell and no, meaning give yourself the opportunity to be quiet. Be quiet so that God's influence, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit can come and reside within you. If you're constantly distracted, constantly telephone, constantly TV, constantly this, that, and nothing, one cannot understand or get to feel God's presence because you're distracted, and He demands, that Spirit demands that we be still and understand and know. You know, give that, it is a process to be quiet, but still, be still, and information will be downloaded to you. That's one of the things I'm listening.
Mhm. Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's very good. I mean that the Bible says so. Be still and know. You know, if we are not still, how can you know? Now, I don't know. Well, let's hear from the second caller, and then I'll say what insights I've gained about this, what you just said. Thank you. Okay. I think we'll go to Marilyn now.
Yes, I'm just going to go off of what the other caller said. That was very helpful to me. It's just to be still again and not being distracted. And I think that in thinking of distractions, besides what was already listed, like TV and just things that take us away from thinking about God, I would say a big distraction for me was always worrying, just worrying about something so that I couldn't even see what God was already doing. I was always trying to, maybe if I did find out that I should call out to God or, you know, ask Him for help, I was always trying to get something or to have something happen rather than just being still again and not worrying no matter what the picture, the problem, you know, was presenting, and just to see what God is already doing has just been so helpful for me. One quick example I can give is just really simple. When I was in college, I started college, and I didn't have a car, and I wasn't taking public transportation, so I usually relied on rides to get to school. And there were plenty of times where it was almost time for me to go to class, maybe 30 minutes away from class actually starting, and I still didn't have a ride to school. And that was really big in my practice of just knowing, you know, that God is with me, because it would always turn out that I would end up with a ride, you know, no matter how long it took, or even if it seemed like nobody was going to come, there was no way I could get there. It happened several times, and it was always something different, you know, that got me to where I needed to be. And that was just so helpful for me to really put this into practice, to know God is with me. He does care for me. Like I said, it was a simple example, but it really was a changing point in my life. And so now, again, it's just if I'm worried about anything, or even if I feel sad or any of these, you know, bad feelings, I can't feel God at the same time. So I just have to take a step back and, you know, really calm down, of course, pray and just allow myself to feel Him with me. And it also helps to start the day acknowledging Him and thanking Him. And that's been just a big change in my life.
Good. Yeah, I think both examples are really good. It's about hearing God, isn't it? I mean, if we know that God is not a person. Thank God we know that now, because for years, of course, growing up, God was taught as though He is far away. Somehow the message, whether they said it or not, somehow the message came as though He is far away. And so, for example, people will look up when they pray as if He's high up in the heavens. We say, oh, you know, we always refer to Him as, you know, the Father up there or something like that, all giving the impression as though He is somewhere else. But I'm so grateful for the learning that, no, God is the closest thing to us. He's got to be. I mean, if we are His expression, His reflection, His manifestation, He has to be the closest thing to us. And I'd like to read where in the Bible it says that they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And this is in Matthew 1:23. And also, I think actually the whole thing is, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So if that this Emmanuel has come, is here today as the Christ Spirit, that everyone, again, I like to stress that because often this thought or this misconception of, oh, some people are good, therefore they have it, some people don't have it. Everyone has it. It becomes more clear the more your thought clears up its mess. And then the revelation of the Christ comes forth. So nobody is without the Christ. We got to see it in ourselves always, and therefore be able to see it in others as well. It's comforting to me, this simple three words, God with us. Because when you think about that, God with us, and really ponder it day, you know, moments throughout the day, God with us, what does it mean? He's here. He's here right now. And he's here in consciousness. Wherever I go, it means that he is with me. At some point, it was so important for me to know constantly, minute by minute, all through the day, that yes, God is with me. And the promise is here, as I just read from Matthew. And as I said, it's this thing about, oh, I don't hear God's voice. I'll read a little excerpt from one of the fine writers, Mr. Carpenter was his name. And it's assuring us that this is a lie. It's a lie that will come and say, well, you can't hear God. Yes, you can hear God if you lift your thought to him. And this is part of it. Just the first part of it says, if you ever expect to hear the voice of God, you must accept the proposition that his voice is now sending out its messages continuously. And doing this, because you possess a capacity to hear it. No one can rob you of that. And the reason you do not hear it is because of your lack of focusing your attention on that fact by letting other things occupy your thought. That brings us right to what our first caller said about being still and knowing. This being still, it's not just the television and the, you know, other distractions, music, loud talking and all that. I have come to understand those are easier to get rid of or to shut up than the thoughts, the nagging, persistent, foolish, senseless thoughts that come that can totally preoccupy us. For example, like second caller was talking about the worry, fear, you know, resentment, even things like pride. You're so full of yourself, you can't even hear him. Some people will say, no, I don't need anybody. I mean, a thought like that, how can you hear God? His message is constantly coming forward. It says that the intercommunication is from God to man, meaning he's always talking to us. So that be still and know, it's like get rid of all these thoughts, these negative thoughts. I'd like to ask, and you can give examples to how important it is to still these thoughts. If you have any examples, it would be good to share it so that other people, you know, can really put this in practice in their life. Because it's happening to everyone. No one is exempt. These constant negative thoughts that come. So either of you can start if you have any comments about that.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yes, it's the what other things do we need to shut up in order for us to hear God? Is essentially the question. Because the TVs and the, you know, the loud noise, those we can control so easily. But then the other things, the other noises, the other material noises that are so difficult sometimes to shut up, and that's examples of that is what I'm asking for. Worry is one of them.
I think the major battle is the battle of the mind. And so one is aware of what can one can be distracted with, focus on God, zone in on God, His love, His mercy, His favor. Again, it is a process. It is a process, and it does take time. And there are times when we are better at it than others. That's what I found. But the major battle is of the mind.
Mhm. Yeah. I mean, because all of it is happening in thought. Everything, you know, whatever, it's all in consciousness. Whether it's clear or not, it's there. It's there that we realize God. So it is all in thought. Second caller, I think you had something to say.
Well, I was just going to say other things to quiet, that you need to quiet. For me, I would say any resentment, that may not be the exact answer you're looking for, but I'm just thinking, just any bad feelings I think that I had, I found came, you know, they came from bad thoughts that I had. And so that was also very distracting. Any anger, pride is a big one. Knowing that I don't know everything, it's okay that I don't know everything, and really just letting all of those types of feelings go as well, or now not just letting them go, but being sure that I'm not harboring any of those feelings on a daily basis, because that also blocks me from, you know, just being still and hearing what God is telling me, which is always good.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so true, because hearing God, we can't hear Him if all these other negativity is there as well. I'll give an example. At a time where I was so angry with someone's behavior, and let's say, yes, you do suffer when you stay angry with people. That's another episode. But anyway, when that kind of thought preoccupies you, there's a suffering there. I mean, it's so imprisons you, because it's occupying your thought, the most sacred place where you should make sure that it's just filled with the light and love of God, so that you can hear His voice. Now, here it is, someone is annoying you, or someone has annoyed me, and I'm so preoccupied with the thought of how bad that was, or what an awful thing they did, and all this. And once you start thinking that way, it's as if it's on a downward spiral. Other things come to justify why you should be so mad, and, you know, it just blocks everything. It's like, okay, we'll turn God channel off and we'll open the evil channel and listen to all the garbage that is saying, when we really, what we want is to listen to what God is saying. It's only the only peace we have is when we're listening to what God is saying. And it's true that never, it doesn't matter when, what, no matter what's happening, He is constantly, His messages are continuous, as what I just read said. His messages are continuous, and they are all good, always good. I must say, one of the best things I have learned, as I said, through my study of Christian Science, which, by the way, is based only on the Bible, on Christ Jesus' teachings, is to be... As you grow in your spiritual growth, become so alert to the little things that come to start this blocking of what you need to hear. And as time goes on, it becomes very sharp, or you become very alert to them, and quickly, in other words, shut the channel and open the right channel.
Hmm.
Again, an example will be, yes, if you go ahead, if you have something to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing, actually.
Yeah, it's like an example would be like the little conversation. A telephone call would come, and it might start off very benign, you know, like, oh, so how are you today? You know, okay, I'm well. And then the next conversation might be, well, something. It goes on to, oh, such and such did this. Did you know that? Or, you know, something that's leading you into a very bad gossip, for example. We become so alert to those things because this is the evil, subtle ways of misdirecting our hearing. We want to listen to God, and I'm so happy to have learned that as soon as I wake up in the morning, my eyes open, my thanks is to God, the Father, Mother of all, for life, because He is life, He is our life, for giving that life. And then I have to know immediately that my mind is that Christ mind. That Christ mind is the only pure mind. And when I do that, it really protects. I've put it in practice, and everyone else can put it in practice if you like, to see that establishing God as my mind really is a protection, and it's like an alerting protection to all the things that could come up. And I declare that several times during the day to remind myself to be in the right mind so that I'm not fooled into getting into all kinds of distractions, which there are plenty. You can go to the store and someone might annoy you. So many. Let's give examples of what could happen during the day, because it's many, many, many things can happen during the day to turn our channel off from the right one to the other one. And it's so easy to fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have experience. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I need to interject. There is a book entitled Commanding Your Morning by Cindy Chin.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may know, some not. But actually, she says, you know, front load your day early as you can with the positive, so that, you know, continue to raise the positive spiritual thoughts throughout the day, because those alternate spirits are ready and to battle with you before you even start. So you need to front load from even the night before or very early in the morning, so that you'll be ready and willing. And can withstand the different negativity that comes our way, and withstand them with strength, you know, with might, with power, so that you do not become, caught up in all the negativity that can come our way. You know, but she does detail it quite a bit. And it's an excellent book. It's something that, for me, has given me a lot of strength to know how to function. You don't go to bed thinking, what is it going to happen? What's going to happen tomorrow? You don't know what is going to happen, but you start by being prepared. That's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's the only way, to me, the only way is the Christ way. The only way is God, the Christ mind, is the only mind we can live in and be free. Because the other is always, oh, before you know, you get up and then there's something. Oh, I have to do this thing. I have to do the other thing. And then noon comes and you haven't spent that time with God.
No.
You're bare. You're ready for anything that comes, which you can easily be knocked down because you haven't fortified yourself. You didn't put the armor on, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So this moments with God in the morning is imperative, really. It
mm-hmm.
is. I mean, you've got to do it. Otherwise, well, be ready then for, you know, what's ahead. Because every day during the day, something is going to come up that's either going to make you mad, discouraged, anxious, upset, fearful, and all these things can be dealt with when we are practicing God with us. You won't believe it, but we only have 3 minutes to go. So I will read the rest of what Carpenter says, and then we'll end. And next week, we will do a part two of this, because I am learning other ways that we can practice God with us. The other part, he says, man does receive and hear the voice of God when he seeks it and makes the effort to gain it, but he is not conscious of having done so until a need arises. When he voices that which he himself never knew, then he knows that it is God talking through him. So when you seek to hear God's voice and do not seem to do it, do not be disappointed. Every day, make the effort to open your thought and let God talk to you. And if you are not conscious of his doing so, if you do not hear it with your material ears or are even conscious of it with your conscious thought, take it on good faith. Believe that it is being recorded on the tablet of your mind, that you are laying up treasure in heaven, in your spiritual consciousness, and when the right time comes, you will be able to give it out and know that God has been saying what God has been saying to you, and know what God has been saying to you by what you say to another. So it's all about, you know, we do not have to listen to even the voice that says we can't hear God. Because we can hear God. We are that close to him. And if we practice being close to him by some of the things we've said so far, then of course we can't but feel his presence and feel his love. All right, we end the show now, and we'll see you again next week. We'll do a part two of this session because I think it's so important. If any questions come up, email to florence@thinkerschallenge.com. And with that, I'll say have a great week and bye for now.